I pay respect to all the Venerable Sangha. We are here to discuss ways and means how to spread Buddha's teaching throughout the world. As I said this morning, I originally come from a tradition, very conservative Hindu family, with so much of misconcept, misinformation about Buddha and his teaching. And due to one reason or the other, I am dealing now mostly with people who come from different traditions other than the Buddha Dhamma. My experience as to how to convince them the greatness of Buddha's teaching and what difficulties come on the way. As my own experience, I was told that Buddha was incarnation of the God Almighty, Vishnu. Therefore, nothing wrong in paying respect to Buddha, paying respect to Buddha's image, but Buddha's teaching is totally against us. And some scriptures were quoted when I was very young, explaining that if one follows Buddha's teaching, the gateway of heaven is closed for this person. The only door for this person is the door of hell. With such conditioned mind, if somebody had told me, come, I'll make a Buddhist out of you, I'll teach you Buddhism, I would have never accepted. Similarly, when I meet people from different sects, different communities, different traditions, if I tell them, I have come here to teach you Buddhism, I am here to make you a Buddhist, they won't even listen. I know with my experience, and I know with the experience that I have as a Dhammaduta, no one will come to listen even. Far away to come and stay with me and practice Dhamma in Vipassana for 10 days. For a number of people, it is very difficult to spare 10 days. To my teacher also, I said, 10 days? Why 10 days? As a businessman, I started bargaining. Sir, 10 days is too much for me. You understand, I'm an intelligent person. You just teach me what I should practice, and I'll practice at home. First, to convince people that there is something good in the teaching of Buddha, so spare 10 days, this difficulty comes. How to spare 10 days? You give a sermon, you explain what Buddha's teaching is, good enough, and we will practice whatever you say. It does not work. People have to work hard. Merely accepting Buddha's teaching at the intellectual level or accepting it at the emotional or devotional level Of course, it is good to some extent, but it cannot give the fruit of Buddha's teaching. For that one has to practice. Even to discuss with such people the beauty of Buddha's teaching, I find it becomes very difficult, because I have the background of nearly all the traditions of India, having studied that, having lived with people, Hindus or Jains or Sikhs, and I understand their mind, their psyche. When we say Buddha taught Sila, they say, yes, yes, there is Sila with us also. We are also with Sila. We accept Sila. Buddha taught Samadhi. Yes, yes, we accept Samadhi. We have got Samadhi also. Look at our scriptures. Yes, there is Samadhi. Buddha taught Panya, which they say Pragya in Sanskrit. Yes, yes, Gita is full of Pragya. Sthit Pragya, getting established in Pragya, is Gita's teaching. What more? We have all these with us. What else Buddha had taught? Buddha only got from us, from our old scriptures, and he taught all that, nothing new. You keep on arguing for the whole life. You can't convince these people who have got so much attachment to their own belief, their own dogma, their own tradition. You can't make them agree. But when you say, all right, this is what I am going to teach you, Sila, Samadhi, Panya, that you accept, but how to live the life of Sila, how to have Samadhi, how to develop Panya within yourself, theoretically it is all right, we agree. But what about practice? I know there is no practice at all. Only practice is pray to the God Almighty, and the God Almighty will do everything for you. I also was of the same belief. Every day morning I used to play, devoted, such a deep devotion. God Almighty will do something for me. I knew my anger is so harmful to me. I am making so many people my enemies, and I was a bundle of anger, hatred, ill will, animosity, full of ego. And I used to pray to God Almighty, please help me. Please help me to come out of that. Up to the age of 31 years, nothing happened. Of course, when I pray, there is some peace in the mind while praying, no doubt about that. But immediately after that, say within 1 hour, I am the same Goenka, and at times worse. It didn't work. When Sayaji said there is a way, there is a technique which will help you to come out of this misery of the impurities of the mind. That is understood by people of every tradition, that every time you generate impurity, you harm yourself, you harm others. This is acceptable. Not necessary to argue with them about this. But how to come out of it? Mere prayers won't help. Tume hi kechanga tappam akha ataro tathagata. A tathagata will only show the path, the real path. You have to work. I started asking myself, have I worked? What I have worked? Except this praying, what else I have done to purify my mind, to come out of the misery of impurities? I have done nothing. And if there is a way, all right, let me give a trial. This is how people start coming. Give a trial. I am not going to convert you to Buddhism. I am not interested. I will convert you to Dhamma. And you agree. You agree Dharma or Dhamma. That means Sila, Samadhi and Pragya. You agree to that. The same thing. The same thing. I will give a practical way because I got that practical way myself. And it helped me. Why not give a trial? They start arguing about the belief in soul, belief in God, so many other things. As Buddha said, I got inspiration from his words. All right, wherever we don't agree, wherever we disagree, leave that aside. Let us work where we agree. We agree in Sila, isn't it? We agree in Samadhi, isn't it? We agree in Panyab, isn't it? Now let us work. How to practice Sila, how to practice Samadhi, how to practice Panya, that's all. All other philosophical discussions, leave them aside. Don't you agree that even if you believe that there is a soul in us, even if you agree that the God Almighty who has created the world, and still, if you generate negativity, don't you become miserable? Don't you start harming yourself? Don't you start harming others? Even those who believe that there is no soul, there is no God, and if they generate negativities, they also suffer in the same way. The main problem is how to come out of this unwholesome habit pattern of generating negativity. I remember Buddha's words. He used a wonderful word which attracted me. Dhamma Niyamata, the law of the nature, universal law of nature. And like a great scientist, he says, whether there is Tathagata or no Tathagata, Dhamma Niyamata is there always. By this, I understood Buddha was a super scientist. He was talking in a scientific way. Buddha or no Buddha, Dhamma Niyamata is there. The law of nature is there. A Buddha discovers this law of nature, makes use of it for his own enlightenment, and gives it to the people with infinite compassion so that they come out of their misery. Dhamma Niyamata. And the Dhamma Niyamata is, there is a law of nature. If you generate impurity in your mind, you will be punished then and there, not after death. After death also punishment will come, but you will be punished here and now. And when you eradicate these impurities in your mind, you are rewarded. Rewarded here and now. You feel so peaceful, so harmonious, so happy. Oh, this is law of nature. You are punished when you generate impurity, and you are rewarded when you get rid of impurity. Don't you agree? This point everybody agrees. Because this is law of nature. And how to eradicate these impurities? How to come out of this old habit, unwholesome habit of generating impurity? He has given a way. And the way is so universal, so non-sectarian. Anybody and everybody can practice it without having any conflict in the mind about their belief, their dogmas, their philosophies, etc. To control the mind, when he says, observe the breath. Just observe the breath. Natural breath, as it comes in, as it goes out, as it comes in, naturally. If it is deep, it is deep. If it is shallow, it is shallow. If it passes through left nostril, right nostril, right nostril. Just observe, do nothing. Don't interfere with the natural flow of the breath, like one is sitting at the bank of the river and the river is flowing. One observes the flow of the river, one does nothing to make this flow fast or slow, just observe. So similarly, keep your attention here and just feel the breath going in, coming out, going in, coming out. No verbalization. The moment you are using any words, I know with my experience that if we use a word along with the awareness of respiration, concentration becomes easier. And if you don't have any word, it may take a little longer. Doesn't matter. Still, no verbalization. Because Buddha's teaching is universal. The moment you have verbalization, I say, all right, you say, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Somebody will say, why Buddha, Buddha? I say, Rama, Rama. I will say, Allah, Allah. I will say, Jesus, Jesus. It can't be universal. No verbalization. No visualization. A shape, a form, an image. It helps to get the mind concentrated, no doubt. I know with my experience. No visualization. The breath as breath, nothing else. No imagination. No imposition of any philosophy, this philosophy or that philosophy. No imposition. Just the breath yatha bhuta, as it is, as it is. The whole path is yatha bhuta, yatha bhuta, yatha bhuta. The truth as it is, the truth as it is. Just observe the truth as it is. How will anybody object to that? Breath is breath. You can't label it that this is a Hindu breath, or a Muslim breath, or a Buddhist breath, or a Christian breath. Breath is breath. Every human being have breath. Breathing in, breathing out, you're observing it. And no breathing exercise, no pranayama. We are not against pranayama. It is good for the health. But it is against this path. This path wants you to observe the reality as it manifests itself from moment to moment. No created reality, no imagined reality, natural reality as it is. You join a course, you sit there, closed eyes, closed mouth, no physical action, no vocal action. You are exploring the truth about what you say, I, mine, mine. Let us see what is this I, let us see what is this mine. Let us see the reality of this mind and matter. Or if there is anything else beyond my mind and matter, let us see. You start with the truth. Don't impose anything. Every step is with the truth, with the truth, with the truth. Just observe the breath as it is, as it is. Observing the breath, observing the breath. Naturally, within 2 days, within 3 days, the mind starts becoming calm. First 1 or 2 days, difficult. Difficult. At times I find a student gets very agitated, generates anger. Anger towards oneself. Anger towards own mind. What sort of mind I am carrying? I have to just observe the breath and look. It wanders away. I hardly observe a couple of breath and my mind wanders away. My mind responds, what such an easy job you are given, just observe the breath, feel the breath, and you can't do it. Then the guide will say, no, don't generate anger, don't generate negativity. Anger is anger, whether you generate towards yourself or towards others, you are generating misery. Just accept the fact. The mind has wandered away, and you realize, oh, mind has wandered away. Accept it, mind has wandered away. All right, I start again, the breath is still there. I start again. Like that, within 3 days, the mind calms down to a certain extent, and as the mind calms down, the breath becomes subtler and subtler, softer and softer, shorter and shorter, like a thin thread as it comes out. So immediately it makes a U-turn and enters in. As the breath becomes the object of meditation, object of observation becomes subtler and subtler, the mind also becomes subtler and subtler, sharper and sharper, and more sensitive. Within 3 days, one starts experiencing sensation on this area. Uttarottasya vemajjapadeshe, this is what Buddha wanted. Above the upper lip, uttarottha, majjapadeshe, the central part of it. Just keep your attention here and keep on feeling the breath coming in, going out. Because you are keeping attention on a small area and because you are with the truth, no imagination, with the truth, and because you continue to work, mind is bound to become sharper and sharper and very sensitive. Within 3 days, it will start experiencing some sensation or the other in this area. Bound to feel sensation. Sensation is there throughout the body. Wherever there is life, there is sensation. Mind and matter joined together, fassa, paccaya, vedana, bound to be sensation because the mind is so gross, it can't feel. Now working for 3 days, you start feeling a sensation. Maybe heat, maybe perspiration, maybe throbbing, pulsing, vibrating, tingling, heaviness, numbness, some sensation or the other. Just observe, do nothing. Silent observation, objective observation, whatever arises, you keep on observing. Then from the 4th day onward, from the top of the head to the tips of the toes, throughout the body, some sensation or the other, some sensation or the other. When I was asked to observe the breath without verbalization, without visualization, I was wondering, what my teacher, why he wants me to observe the breath? Why not I recite, even not Rama, Rama, all right, Buddha, Buddha? Not the image of Rama, all right, image of Buddha? Why? Why only breath? And soon I realized that the whole technique is to explore the truth about mind and matter. The breath gives you to understand the truth of mind and matter. At the apparent level, it looks the breath is connected with your body only. Lungs are functioning and that's why you have incoming breath or outgoing breath. No. It is strongly connected with the mind and very strongly connected to the mental impurities. Very soon I started realizing that as I was observing anybody, when they observe the breath, mind wanders. Mind wanders in the past, some memory, pleasant, unpleasant. Mind wanders in the future, some imagination, pleasant, unpleasant. And the reaction starts. Say, I generate anger. The moment I generate anger, I notice the breath has lost its normality. It is no more normal. It becomes hard, it becomes fast. And when that impurity has gone away, again it becomes normal. Oh, so Buddha wanted us to observe the breath because breath is connected with both nama and rupa, both the body and the mind. It is connected. So, beginning is to be with the object which is connected with both mind and matter. From the 4th day onwards, when one starts observing the sensation, again a doubt came in my mind. What my teacher is teaching? These sensations, sometimes pain, sometimes heaviness, sometimes heat, sometimes... What's the use of observing them? They are there. What I gain by that? Very soon I started realizing all these sensations are not merely physical phenomenon. They have got strong relation with the mind also. The moment I generate a negativity in my mind, a sensation arises, very unpleasant sensation, very unpleasant. And when my mind is calm, full of peace, full of harmony, love, compassion, the sensation that arises is so pleasant, so pleasant. Oh, so Buddha gave importance to this vedana, the sensation, because it is connected both with mind and matter. This was a great discovery of Buddha. We have got now in our research organization, in the CD-ROM, the entire Pali literature is there. And then not only that, all the Hindu literature, Vedas, Upanishad, Purana, Mahabharat, Ramayana, all are input there. And all the scriptures of the Jains. So we can make a study, comparative study. The research is complete. And we find, before Buddha, there is no tradition who gave any importance to the body sensation. What body sensation? Buddha found out, that was his enlightenment. You are reacting to the sensations. You are not reacting to the outside object. It's only apparent truth that you are reacting to outside object. Actually, when outside object comes in contact with your sense door, there is bound to be a sensation on the body. If you give valuation to the outside object as very good, you get pleasant sensation. When you give valuation very bad, you get unpleasant sensation. And then you start reacting. Pleasant sensation, craving, craving, clinging, clinging. Unpleasant sensation, aversion, hatred, aversion, hatred. This has become your habit pattern, how to come out of it. And for that he wanted us to observe Vedana. To come out of Vedana, Pachaya, Tanha. Instead of Vedana, Pachaya, Tanha, it must be Vedana, Pachaya, Panya. Every Vedana one experience, one should understand, oh, this is anicca. This is anicca. Something which is constantly changing. Why react? Why react with craving? Why react with aversion? It's constantly changing, constantly changing. With experience, one understands anicca. If we accept anicca only at the intellectual level, if we accept anicca only at the emotional level, because Buddha said so, not only Buddha said so, other traditions also accept that the mind is matter are not eternal, they are changing. So what? What we gain? Now with experience, look anicca, anicca. If there is a unpleasant sensation, it is dukkha, obvious dukkha. If there is a pleasant sensation, then also dukkha. Because the old habit pattern was that when you feel a pleasant sensation, you start generating craving, craving, clinging. And that brings dukkha for you. So pleasant sensation or unpleasant sensation or neutral sensation, dukkha, dukkha, dukkha. So anicca and dukkha become so clear, not just at the intellectual level, not just at the devotional level, at the actual level, by experiencing, experiencing. Then, am I master? Am I master of these sensations? Can I change these sensations? Can I change this physical structure? Can I change this mental structure? Things are just happening. I have no control over that. What I? What mine? The entire structure, one comes to the stage where the entire physical structure, mental structure, nothing but vibration, vibration. Sabbo loko pajjalito, sabbo pakampito loko, sabbo loko pajjalito. Mere vibrations, combustion and vibration, one experiences that. Which vibration is I? Which vibration is mine? If it is I, it has gone away, so I am gone away. If it is mine, it doesn't stay, it is going away. What I? What mine? When we talk of soul, all those people who talk of soul, soul is eternal, it is not changing. So body and mind, you are seeing, is changing, is not eternal. And you don't come across anything which is eternal. Keep on observing this truth, observing this truth. Impurities get eradicated, the whole path, yathabhuta, 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 as it is, as it is, as it is, without reacting to it, just observe, upekha, upekha, upekha. And when you are with upekha, deep impurities they come on the surface, deep anushaya klesha which was lying deep below, they come on the surface, they come on the surface, manifest themselves as this sensation or that sensation, again upekha, you are equanimous, you are equanimous. They lose their strength, layers after layers pass away, and a time comes when all such layers which are responsible to take you to the lower field, they've all gone, and then one can experience the truth beyond mind and matter, which is eternal. Beyond mind and matter is eternal. You have to experience it. And when you experience that, you can't say this is I. There is nothing to say I. You can't say this is mine. You can't say this is Atta. So by experience, people start understanding anatta. By argument, nothing doing. It doesn't work. So stop argue. As far as my experience is, I don't argue with them. They say there is Atta or there is Atta. Let us keep aside where we differ. Where we don't differ, let us work on that only. And they understand, they start understanding all the differences, the conflicts go away. And they find a big change has started coming in them. Love, compassion, goodwill automatically start coming in them. They are so pleased. Anybody, whether a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jewish, makes no difference. Human being is human being. With these impurities, one keeps on suffering. And when one gets freedom from the impurity, one starts getting pure happiness, pure peace. Not necessary that this person keeps on calling himself as a Buddhist or no Buddhist. He is a follower of Buddha. Anybody who is practicing Eightfold Noble Path, Sila, Samadhi and Panya, for me, he is a follower of Buddha. He may keep on calling himself by any name. One who keeps on calling himself by this name and not practicing Sila, Samadhi and Panya, my teacher used to say, Siyaji used to say, I feel very compassionate for these people. Main thing is how to practice Buddha's teaching. If it is not practiced, if it is only argued at the intellectual level, if you keep on arguing the whole life, if you say there is no Atta, they have got 101 arguments to say there is Atta. If you say there is no God Almighty, they have got 101 arguments to say there is God Almighty. Where we reach? How to convince? And what is the use of convincing? Even if you have convinced somebody there is no Atta, there is no Paramatta, so what? It's the same person, with the same misery, with the same impurities, but when they come out of it, then people of any tradition, every tradition starts accepting Buddha's path. This is a scientific way to come out of misery. Actually, to me, it looks Buddha never taught a religion. He never taught a religion. He taught a way of life, how to live. How to live peacefully and harmoniously within, and how to generate nothing but peace and harmony for the atmosphere outside, so that others can also live in peace and harmony, and this is acceptable by one and all. And that is why large number of people from different communities, large number of people from different communities and their leaders. As I said this morning, Christian priests and nuns, and not only that, Jain monks, and you know Jains, Niganthanathaputta, at the time of Buddha, they were against Buddha and his teaching. Their leaders are coming, about 500 or 600 of them already have taken courses because they understand this path, there is nothing to raise any objection to this path. They come, Muslims are coming, Jews are coming, and not only that, the training that is given to become a teacher is also from every community. People from every community are coming and they feel the same way Buddha's path is the right path. They may not call themselves Buddhist. It doesn't matter. They follow the path of Buddha. Sila, Samadhi, Panya. A good human being. If one is not a good human being, how can he be a good Hindu, or a good Muslim, or a good Jew, or a good Buddhist? A good human being. Buddha makes one a good human being. Good for oneself and good for others. This is the way I found to attract people. Large number of people are coming. When they don't come to the course, they have got objection. They keep on arguing. And I very politely tell them, give a trial and see. If there's anything wrong, tell me. But give a trial and see for yourself. When they come to the course, even the biggest enemy of Buddha's teaching, coming to the course at the end of the course, says, I never knew Buddha taught this. I never knew Buddha taught this wonderful way. Are they not followers of Buddha? They are followers of Buddha. Throughout the world, now it is spreading. On the one hand, to spread Buddha's teaching, Pariyatti has got its own importance. the words of Buddha, Ajasya like ambrosia, like nectar, so good, but that alone does not help. But when you practice, then you get the result, then you get fruits of it. Then you realize, yes, the teaching is really good. And teaching is universal. Anybody and everybody can practice. When you observe the breath, it's neither Hindu nor Muslim nor Buddhist nor Christian. So when you observe the sensations, when you observe your anger, you can't say this is Hindu anger or Muslim anger or Christian anger. Anger is anger. And the misery because of that you experience, you can't say this is Hindu misery or Buddhist misery or Christian. Misery is misery. And when you get relieved of this impurity and observe peace and harmony, you can't label it, this is Hindu peace or Muslim peace or Buddhist peace. Peace is peace. This is Dhamma Niyamta, given by Buddha. The law of nature, universal law of nature, Esa Dhammo Sanantano. This remains forever. Other things keep on changing, but Dhamma remains forever. If this happens, this result is bound to come. Imasming sati idang hoti. Imasming asati idang na hoti. If you generate impurity out of your ignorance, you have to suffer. If you don't generate impurity and you are out of ignorance, you are free from misery. This is not merely a sermon. To me, Buddha was not giving sermons, he was giving practical things. Tume hi kichang atappang. You have to work out. Buddha gives the path. You have to walk on the path to reach the goal. Nobody else can liberate you. You have to liberate yourself. The path is there, the technique is there. In this way, I find the paryatti should be given to the people. But along with that, patipatti is very important, and then only you get the results, and people easily come to it. Very easily, without any difficulty, without any confrontation. May Dhamma spread. This summit, I am so happy because it is the mission of my Sayaji Ubakhin, which has become my mission also. Let Dhamma spread around the world. Let people who are from the tradition of Buddha, this branch or that branch makes no difference. The essence remains the same. The Eightfold Noble Path is the same. The Four Noble Truths the same. The Paticca-samuppad, law of cause and effect, the same. So don't give importance to the fringes where there is some differences, rites and rituals and ceremonies, etc. The essence of Buddha is the same. And I find that this essence is acceptable throughout the world by every religion. So if we place this essence before them in the practical way, people accept it and they are accepting it. So the mission of my teacher, the vision of myself, and this summit, this is the aim of the summit, and I am with this summit, Dhamma should spread. May the light of Dhamma spread around the world, so that the darkness of ignorance go away, the darkness of misery go away. May everyone in the world experience Buddha's teaching and come out of misery and remain happy, peaceful, harmonious.